Now, more Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Jim and Randall.
And we're back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hart.
And if you want to get a call in North America, because we don't have time to take any calls from any place else,
right.
you can reach us at 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. Now, Jim and I, while we're on a break, got a great idea. You know, we're moving into the holiday season.
Yes.
And this has been our first, this is the 13-week trial run. We're in week number 12, I think.
Yes.
And we've had such a great experience at TalkZone, and we've had such a great experience because of the people who work at TalkZone.
That's right.
From the first level person right up to the president, everyone there is professional, courteous, responsive, quick to act. They have a sense of humor. They have common sense. They have all kinds of good things.
If you're going to keep this up,
no, but let me tell you where we're going.
I'll never get another
word. No, you're going to get a word in here. But we were just thinking, you know, just Jim and I here in the basement, that it would be really great if everybody got a Christmas bonus this year at TalkZone. I think it'd be fabulous. And we're, as soon as we go off the air, we're going to send a letter to the president and the stockholders.
And that'll be the end of our appearances on the program.
And we'll see you next year, maybe. Okay? But, you know, think about that, because these guys are guys and gals, they're worth every dime. And now, without any further ado, let's go to questions from our listeners. Look at that, the studio faint.
And now, it's time for the main event.
Our engineer passed out. Oh,
that's right.
They're running up and down the halls now, screaming.
That's right.
We need a raise.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Staccato.
That's right.
All right. Are you ready for your first question?
Yes, I am.
We created a nuisance and a riot there. Larry from Phoenix writes, "Dear Jim and Randall, does the First Amendment to the Constitution support completely free speech?"
Well, when you say completely free speech, it seems that way today when we have now what they call freedom of expression, which permits, like, for instance, flag burning, where the court says that's a form of speech. And I'm frank to say I don't agree with them, but, however, that's the law. No, on the other hand, it does not protect completely free speech. For instance, there's that old thing, you cannot incite to riot by speech. That's been held as an exception. And that's the old thing in line with you can't yell fire in a theater. That you're not free to do that because
that's
you're not
right.
free to...
So it's not unbridled.
But it's not unbridled. However, it is very, very broad these days. Much broader, I might say, than I think it should be.
Okay.
But I don't know that free speech has any limits anymore except inciting to riot and yelling fire in a theater. As a matter of fact, when you talk about... What are you saying? All right. I'm not finished yet.
Oh, I thought you were done.
Man asked me a question. I want to give him
a complete answer. He needs to get his money's worth.
And one of the things, for instance, even today, where the traditional laws of libel were in effect until 1964, the Supreme Court narrowed that. So you can almost lie about a person if you're in the press, if the person's a public figure, and so forth. But your answer is mostly yes, but a lot of exceptions.
That's a heck of an answer.
What can I tell you? That's the way it is.
I like to say that to my son when he asks me for something. Mostly yes, but I have a few exclusions.
Right.
Okay, here's the next question. Bill from Seattle writes, "Dear Jim and Randall, is a personal catastrophe insurance policy a good idea to have?"
Well, I think you mean a what we call an umbrella policy. In other words, you want your own liability policy. If you're a homeowner, you have a homeowner's policy, which should include liability insurance. Somebody trips on your steps and they sue you and this and that.
Right.
And you have automobile insurance and you have this kind of insurance. But if you get an umbrella policy, which is for catastrophic events, that's a policy that kicks in when the limits of the other are reached, and they usually require that you have so much of the underlying policy. That is to say, you need $300,000 in auto insurance or so much. Then they'll give you whatever you buy, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, whatever, of excess insurance.
Right, covers
and
you
that
over
is,
the top.
That's right. And we call it an umbrella policy because it's like an umbrella in case into your life some rain
must fall. That's a very good answer. Now, Bill, there's another way to look at this. How many catastrophes have you been involved in?
Well,
you know,
don't say that. You never know.
You never know.
You're
right.
That's right. please.
There's a commercial now where the guy comes around with a big umbrella and
well,
he protects
the
everybody.
Travelers. They're looking for money.
I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to give them a plug, no. Nor was I going to insult them.
Right.
But you have done both.
I did.
You have compressed both into just a few words.
Right.
Nicely done. All right, Bert from Rochester, New York.
Let
hey,
us
a
smile.
Local...
By the way, travelers.
Yes.
Let us smile. Be your umbrella. Okay.
All right, are you ready?
Onward and upward.
All I can say is...
No sign of intelligent life anywhere.
Exactly.
I was wondering if the people can really handle the intelligence level of this show.
The intellect level of this show is slightly above Neanderthal.
Right. It's the only IQ meter that broke through the bottom.
That's Bert from Rochester, New York. Local fellow. Thanks for writing, Bert. You have a lot of courage. Dear Jim and Randall, is a separation automatic grounds for a divorce in New York? And how does that work?
Well, you're getting pretty close to individual advice on this kind of question.
Yeah,
but let me say there is in New York a form of divorce where you enter into a voluntary separation agreement, you set forth the terms, and you file that agreement with the court. And then 1 year after that, if neither of you have violated the agreement, that is to say, well, very frankly, if you... held your girlfriend or boyfriend off for a year. Also, you know, you didn't do that. And
right.
Didn't
do anything that violates the agreement.
And you didn't even cohabitate with each other, because cohabitating with each other, that would violate the agreement.
Right.
So you stay separated and you don't do anything naughty for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't violate the terms of the agreement.
Okay.
Then you can file for a divorce on the basis of the agreement.
And that's in New York.
And on the basis of non-violation of the agreement.
Right.
In the state of New York. Please understand, this has nothing to do, as far as I'm concerned, with the other 49 states. They have their own rules.
Right. It
so
may
forth.
Be the same, but
it
we
may,
can't.
But I don't know. Right.
Yes, we have a very limited scope of what we know.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Well, Felix.
Right. Right.
I love this name, Felix.
Felix.
Felix from Boston writes,
yes.
Dear Jim and Randall,
yes.
Can the Supreme Court, this is a very intelligent question, can the Supreme Court reverse itself?
Well, when you say reverse itself, it can, when it, if it wants to, it can have a further argument on a case.
Okay.
And maybe it can reverse itself. Let me say this. Pretty much the Supreme Court can do whatever it wants.
Okay.
But basically, it doesn't reverse itself. What it does is it changes. It reverses an old decision. For instance, the Dred Scott decision has obviously been reversed. The decision of separate but equal has been reversed.
Well, can I ask you a question on
yes.
this? Recently, the Supreme Court has come down very squarely on the Second Amendment right to individuals to bear arms.
Yes.
Now the judges.
Yes. Go ahead.
The judges voted a certain vote on that. If new judges were to get in, could they bring that case back up and reverse the vote?
No, you can't bring the same case back up.
Oh, you can't bring the same case back up.
What you do is a new case comes up with similar fact situation.
Okay.
And when that new case comes up, you are asking the court to rule regarding that particular case.
Okay.
And if it rules, you know, reaches a decision, which is contrary to the earlier case, it has in effect reversed itself.
Okay.
And, you know, you've heard the word stare decisis. That is, the decision stands. Precedent. That's very important. But there are precedents, as I've pointed out, that are overturned.
All right.
And when they're overturned, the court, in effect, reverses itself. That is not to say that they could not say, wait, we had this case. There's a petition for a re-argument. And we're going to hear it, and it could reverse themselves.
Okay. I have another question for you.
I don't know when it's occurred. I really don't know. But, you know, I can't know everything. I know most of everything.
But there's a lot of pressure on you to know a lot.
That's right. There is.
That's right.
Oh, my God. The pressure's terrific.
It is unbelievable.
Right.
It's about 40 phantoms.
Well,
all right. John from New York City writes,
right.
Other than Chapter 11, can a corporation dissolve its contracts if they are, as he writes, financially impossible? In other words, very similar to what we talked about.
I know. That's what we pretty much talked about with regard to the automobile industry and the bailout.
Right.
When you say, first here, in a Chapter 11 you reorganize, and in connection with that, the court has the power, and there's a trustee, there's the bankruptcy judge, They have the power to alter or amend or change or discharge certain contracts. They may be the labor contracts. They may be contracts with suppliers. They may be other things in order so that you can continue to be in business.
Right.
The other thing, and that's what I call the reorganization. The other part of bankruptcy is liquidation. That's when you actually go out. That's when you're really bankrupt in the sense of bankruptcy. Your business does not continue, does not reorganize. It disorganizes.
Right, it dissolves.
It dissolves, and it liquidates itself, and of course the contracts are then discharged, all of them, because when you get a discharge in bankruptcy, that's exactly what the word is, you're discharged in bankruptcy. So in those cases, yes. Otherwise, I don't know of too many ways you can get out of contract.
You just can't say this contract, this single contract, without having to disengage your whole company, this contract is no longer financially viable.
Who's,
we can't
who's
pay
say
for
that?
It.
Who's
well,
say
the
it?
Management would
I
mean, have to
I
say that.
I say to you, you're the other contracting party.
Right.
I decide to buy coal from you.
Right.
And I owe you money for the coal. And I say to you, Randall, I don't owe you the money anymore because I can't pay. And you say, you're out of your mind. So you can't do that.
I didn't mean it that way.
Unless you go bankrupt. That's bankruptcy.
But couldn't you and I agree to make some modifications?
Well, of course you can agree to modify a contract.
Then.
Is that what you were talking about?
Well, that's what I was thinking. That would be the only way. But
something.
If I refuse, you can't.
You are one of the least articulate people that I have ever met. And I've known you for about 722 years.
That's correct. We go way back.
Of course, if anybody makes a contract, the contracting parties can amend, alter, or change, or discharge, or terminate the contract. But it has, since a contract is a voluntary thing, two people enter into it, create the rights voluntarily, they can amend those rights voluntarily.
All right.
Okay?
Well, there's the answer to your question.
My question?
To John's question.
Yes.
Thank you, John, for writing, and see if you run into Alfonso on the corner of 53, if he's moved that push cart yet. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this week's Simon Hart Award. This week's Simon Hart Award goes to a young mother who brought her daughter into an emergency room because the daughter had eaten some ants. The doctors, specializing in toxicology, assured the young mother that ants were not harmful and that the little girl would be fine.
Our information has it that the young mother then complained that she had given her daughter ant poison unnecessarily. The doctor quickly started procedures to counteract the poison, and the police interviewed the young mother.
Now, I can imagine that first question because it's the first question my father used to ask me all the time. What were you thinking about? Jeez.
Yes.
Well, folks, it's time to introduce our crack crew. Actually, we do. We have the only crew that's cracked.
That's right.
Our orchestra leader, Professor Stanley Staccato.
Our meteorologist, Gail Ford.
Our sports reporter, Crash Dugenhausen.
Our studio engineer, rollicking Randy Meyer.
He's the best. Our producer, Chris Confound-It-All Winning.
Our sound effects specialist, Horatio Heart Attack Wingate.
Our technology advisor, Mr. Laverne Lazarino.
Our legal historian, Sir Edward Faversham III.
Is he from England?
Oxford, you know.
Really?
Yes, always wears the shoes.
Our hair and makeup specialist, Miss Georgia Peachfuzz.
Our medical advisor and professor of proctology, Dr. Seymour Guts.
Our director of impressionism, because we always want to make a good first impression, Mademoiselle Camille Au Contraire.
And our Italian limo driver, Mario, just in a time.
Ladies and gentlemen, each week he gets us to the studio,
just in a time.
Well, folks, we hope you have a good week. We hope you survive this show. In fact, we have no way of knowing.
That's right.
But Jim has a little thought that he'd like to share with you.
I think that in times, the holidays coming up, to remember that a true friend is someone who reaches for your hand and touches your heart. And I think that's very nice.
That's a very nice thing to leave the folks with. And I'd like to just say, no matter what happens, ladies and gentlemen, don't sweat the small stuff.
Remember, folks, it's all small stuff.
That's all, folks.